The following audio is from Hope Hill Church. To learn more about Hope Hill Church, please visit hopehillchurch.org.
We started this series, Hashtag Struggles, last week. If you missed it, you can go to our podcast and check it out. We're going to be looking at a five-part series over the next 2 months, breaking it up here and there with a couple special family services that I want to draw your attention to. First of all, the last Sunday of this month, we are doing our Advent family kickoff. Both our 9:30 and our 11 o'clock service will be combined into one at 10:30, I think, that day. It's going to be a great day. We'd love to invite you to invite your friends, neighbors, coworkers, family members that maybe wouldn't come to a normal service. It's going to be a great day. That is Advent Sunday kickoff, the last Sunday of November. And then coming up in December, we've got our birthday party celebration, birthday party for Jesus. We will have Santa here. It's going to be a day that we invite all the families that we are adopting during our family adoption project to come. Last year, there was over 500 people that showed up. We had birthday cake and celebration and gifts, and it's going to be a great day. You don't want to miss it that day as well, as we come together to celebrate the coming of Christ, our Savior, and celebrating his birthday. A little early than Christmas, but it'll be still a great day. So we invite you to come out. In between those events, we're doing this series called Hashtag Struggles, where we're looking at the struggles that are in our culture, in our lives, many times magnified because of social media, and how Christ wants us to respond as Christians in a selfie-centered world. And how many of you know what a selfie is? Okay, three of you. You're not awake, or you just don't know how the arm works. How many of you know what a selfie is? All right, let's do this real quick, okay? Selfie time. Why are you laughing? Here, say cheese. One, two, three. All right, good. Hashtag no shave November. All right, so what are we doing here? We started this series, Hashtag Struggles. This week, we're going to be talking about intimacy and relationships. Next week, I hope that you come back for the week we talk about authenticity, where how do we really be the real us in a filtered world? We filter our posts. We filter our pictures. We put out there what we want people to see, what we want them to think they see, and we blur out, change, and make sure everything we don't want them to see is not seen. How do we live authentically the way Christ wants us to in a selfie-centered world that's full of filters? Today we're going to be talking about relationships. Social media, I'm not here to beat up on it. We want to leverage it. You know, I love social media. I've got over 2,000 friends on Facebook because I've been in this area so long. I love connecting with people, and we use it as a way to get word out about important things. Social media can help us talk about causes that are important to us. They can help us connect with people, friends that we've not seen in a while. They can help us have tons of friends that we don't even know. And there's all kinds of things that are good, but many times social media can bring with it some unintended consequences. At the same time, it's great for encouraging others. My daughter posted a Facebook post. I think Facebook is becoming like old people book because none of our kids are using it anymore. But my daughter got on Facebook, she put a picture, and she tagged Brandy and I. And if I'm using terminology you don't know, then you're just old, okay? So anyways, sorry, didn't mean to offend you. Okay, so anyways, she tagged Brandy and I, and she said, "Mom, Dad, I just want to thank you for being the kind of parents you have been to me, a great role model example." It touched my heart because Jordan, our daughter, reached out to us to encourage us in that way. And that's good, and that's great. And social media can be used to encourage people. You don't even have to be in the same continent. You can reach out and touch people around the world through social media. Some great stuff. But at the same time, many times social media can get in the way of true and deep and meaningful relationships. And so today we're going to dive in a little bit to that and what that looks like. And I hope that the Holy Spirit will speak to you, even whether you use social media or not. These principles are true for each of us. Christ has called us to have real, meaningful, and deep relationships with himself and with one another. And many times in our culture, we want just the opposite. And so we're going to struggle through that together today. I want to do it through the lens of the words of Jesus found in the book of John. How many of you are still doing hashtag John 21 challenge? The John 21 challenge. Okay, three of you. The rest of you have completed it. Awesome. Okay, so realistically, some of you don't know what I'm talking about. The book of John is an amazing book in the Bible. First of all, it has a really cool name. My name's Pastor John. The book of John. Anyways, the book of John in the Bible, it's 21 chapters. You can read it a chapter a day and be done in 21 days, less than a month, and you read a whole book of the Bible. And John is a great picture of who Jesus is. John was one of the closest friends of Jesus, and he wrote some things that aren't found anywhere else in Scripture, and you can get a great picture of who Jesus is. Start tomorrow. Start today. John 21 challenge. Read a chapter a day of the book of John and get a real up-close personal picture of Jesus. These words of Jesus are found in John chapter 13, verse 34. Jesus said this, "A new command I give you, love one another." He said, "As I have loved you, so you also must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples." If what? If you love one another. What's so awesome here is the context in which Jesus is saying this. First of all, in John chapter 13, this is the night that Jesus spends his last dinner with his closest friends. He's sharing some last conversations with them, preparing for what he knows is about to happen. He's about to be arrested. He's about to be put on a mockery of a trial. He's about to be taken to a cross where he lays down his life in our place to forgive us of our sins as his blood is shed for us. And so these last few moments together, he shares some of the most important things that we need to hear as followers of Christ. They've come in from a meal. They've been walking around all day, and back then they didn't have pavement. They didn't have cement or blacktop. They walked around in dirty, filthy streets. The main form of transportation was either you walking around in open-toed sandals. They didn't have socks yet. How many wear socks with sandals? Good, no weirdos here. So anyway, they walked around with these sandals. There were animals always around doing their own form of pollution, and people are walking around in it. By the time dinner rolls around, you've got dirty, crusty feet. And they didn't sit at tables and chairs. They like reclined near each other's feet. And so your nose is like just inches away from that guy's junk. Toe jam at its finest, okay? And so the lowest of low positions in the servants, among the servants in a house when you'd come in for dinner was if you had that low job, you would be cleaning the people's feet as they came in so that they didn't smell all that at dinner. And here, dinner time has rolled around, and who's cleaning feet? Jesus. Jesus gets up and Peter's so offended, like, wait, there's no way you should be doing this. And Jesus has to like put him in his place and say, no, I'm doing this. And not only am I going to do this for you, but you should do this for one another. He goes and he says these words following that situation. I want you to know what's most important in life, and it's to love one another and serve one another. He says, they will know you are my followers if you what? Love one another. What's so awesome about what is said here is what's not said here. Jesus didn't say they'll know you're my followers if you tend temple, synagogue, and church every weekend. He didn't say that. Jesus didn't say they'll know you're my followers and disciples if you pray enough. He didn't say that. He said they'll know you're my followers and disciples if you memorize enough, if you do enough good works. He didn't say any of that. He said they'll know you are my followers, my disciples, my friends, if you love one another. And so that is the lens through which I hope we hear today's message, that God wants us to have deep, meaningful relationships that are built on love. Jesus demonstrated his love for us, and while we were sinners and against him as his enemies, he still came to us, and he met us here where we are in our mess, and he died for us in our place. And Jesus wants us to have that same kind of love. It's easy for you to love someone you like, but have you ever tried loving someone you can't stand? That's the kind of love that Christ calls us to. He says, they will know you are my followers by how you love one another. So, here's the complication, the struggle we have to deal with. Technology has a way of interfering with a lot of things, And that also includes relationships. I want us to quickly look at three areas in your notes. If you have your notes, if you need notes, we have ushers who can pass out extras. But in your notes today, I want to quickly point out three areas that technology interferes in our relationships. The first one is the term friend is evolving. It wasn't that long ago where friend meant someone that you like lived your life with, someone you shared hobbies with, someone that you went and enjoyed and did things together, but also a true friend knew your weaknesses. They knew your messes. They knew the real you. You didn't get to filter everything in a real friendship. They saw you, you knew them, and they were also there to help you through those hard times. Sure, real friends would fight, but they would also get through those hard times together and build a stronger friendship. Now, a friend is someone you've never met who simply likes something on a page you write. How many of you have friends on Facebook? How many of you have people you've never met who are friends on Facebook? Okay, myself included, okay? The term friend is evolving. Recent polls show that the average adult, Facebook is quickly becoming an adult venue. Most of the kids are abandoning Facebook and going to things like Instagram and other things. But Facebook, the average adult on Facebook has 328 friends. How many of you have 328 friends? And you know it. Yeah, okay, some of you know it. Very good. Some of you just wish you could have three friends, okay? So, but that's the truth, is in these polls, people were quickly to say that the average number was 328 friends. When asked, how many real friends do you have, the average answer was two. Down from six two decades ago. Real friends. Somebody who can share life with, somebody who knows your intimate details of your life, your goods, your bads. We are quickly in this social media type world losing what it means to have real friendships. 25% of those adults polled, 25% said they have zero friends in a real life situation, real life best friends. That's not good. That's not what God intended. God wants us to live in a life where we're really connecting with one another. There's a lot of internet interactivity going on, but very little relational intimacy happening. And we need to figure out the difference. Just because we connect with someone through social media does not mean that we have that deep connection. And yeah, you're sitting there saying, no kidding, but there are so many ways that we don't realize this is affecting us. Sociologists and scientists and are studying the effects of social media in our lives, and the results that are coming out are alarming. They're huge, and we'll get into some of those today. So, first of all, the way technology is interfering is the term friend is evolving. Number two, we're becoming addicted to immediate affirmation. We feel lonely? We'll just post something. I mean, that selfie we just took, if I had good internet connection in here, I'd probably see a few likes by now. Maybe a comment or two. Pastor John, nice new sweater. Pastor John, what's up with the beard? Hashtag no shave November, okay? I'm just using that as an excuse so Brandy doesn't make me shave it. Anyway, I've never grown a beard before, okay? I thought I'd give it a try. All right, so anyways, moving right along. What's happening is sociologists call this deferred loneliness. We are quick to feel lonely and want to connect with somebody over a device, hoping we'll get that like. Oh, they liked it. Oh, my phone just buzzed. What did they say? Oh, what's happening there? Why didn't so-and-so like it? So-and-so hasn't liked my last three posts. What's up with so-and-so? Why are they not liking my stuff? And we start obsessing over this. Some of you have come to me and said, why did you not comment on my post? I'm not going to call you out by name, but you know who you are. Some of you have said, well, Pastor John, why didn't you like what I put out there? Hello? Okay, how many of you know how Facebook really works? You've got this feed. I've got over 2,000 friends on Facebook, okay? It's not because I'm popular and have a lot of close friends. I don't know most of them. It's just people who like stuff we put out, so they friend request us. And who am I to say, no, I'm not going to be your friend, okay? So I accept these friend requests. And anyway, I'm digging a hole. I don't see stuff my wife even puts on there, okay? The feeds are so full with funny cat photos and stupid videos that the important stuff that you hope a pastor would see gets buried in all the nonsense. We've got to figure out a way to really connect, and it's not through social media. We got to figure out how to not let social media get in the way. We're becoming addicted to immediate affirmation. In our brains, there's a chemical that's released. When that buzz goes off and we look and we see that so-and-so liked our post, there's a chemical in our brain called dopamine that gets released. And it makes that momentary lonely feeling dissipate. And so we get addicted to it. And we start, oh, they liked what I put. Let me put some more. And we go through this cycle and we're feeding something while deferring the real need. We're chasing after likes while we're longing for love. And we need to figure out a way to true and deeper, real, meaningful relationship. The term friend is evolving. We're becoming addicted to immediate affirmation. And number three, we now have the power to do friendship on our own terms. How many of you get a text and you look at it, you're like, okay, it's Rick. Do I respond now or later? We have that power now. We have total control. Someone sends you something and you can be like, I don't really want to respond right now. We have control now over our friendships. We have the illusion of friendship without the demands of a real relationship. We have these connections where, you know, somebody posts pictures of themselves up and we have the power whether to deem it like worthy enough. Am I going to take the time to give this a double tap or am I going to just scroll on by? We now are in control of our friendships. We're in control of the relationships. And if you post stuff I don't like, you know what? Click of a button, you're no longer my friend. It's become that simple and that easy, and that's not the way that God intended it. Young professionals, recent college graduates, people in the workplace who are using social media for social reasons, and also, you know, most people who go to get a job, they're looking at your Facebook now. They're not just wanting to see what's on your resume. They're looking at your social engagements. So pay attention to what you put out there and what you say. These young professionals were surveyed, and two statements that came out that were really huge to me that I want to share with you today is one group of students often shared this kind of phrase. They said, the more they use social media, the more they crave personal interaction. The second phrase was, they feel, because of social media, they feel that they're able to be more connected now and yet more alone than ever. How do we bridge that gap from this fake relationship, fake connection type status to get to the real deep stuff? How do we get there? Let's look at a couple passages of scripture to show us how we can deal with this hashtag struggle in a way that Christ wants us to. Hebrews, the book of Hebrews chapter 24 and 25. Hebrews 24 says this. It says, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. I love this. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to do the things that God wants us to. That's what this church is supposed to be. We're supposed to be living in relationship with each other, spurring each other on, thinking of ways, brainstorming. How can we impact our community? How can we make a difference in the lives of those around us? How can we be present? And how do we do it? Verse 25. And let us not neglect commenting or posting likes on other people's pages. Is that what it says? I must have missed something. No, what it says is let us not neglect our what? Our meeting together as some people do, but instead let us encourage one another. There is something powerful in presence. Let us not neglect meeting together. How many of you have a friend, a personal friend, not just a Facebook friend or a Twitter follower or whatever they're called? How many of you have a personal friend that you meet with regularly just to let down your guard with? Just to be real Well, that's great. That's a good number of you, but some of you don't. And we need to find that for one another, in one another. We need to develop real relationships that we can get together and motivate each other onto good works, onto making a difference and an impact in this world, encouraging one another. Jesus demonstrated this for us. God didn't stay up in heaven and Jesus said, let's let them know we love them. Let's shout it from the heavens. Jesus didn't declare his love by shouting it and showing us something. He came down and got messy with us. He came down and moved into our neighborhoods to live with us, to dine with us. The people that were considered not worthy, the rejected people of the day, the taxers, the tax collectors, the sinners, the prostitutes, Jesus came and he walked with them. He talked with them. He connected with them. He loved on them. He reached out to them and he wanted to do this because he loved us. This is what true love is, to get involved in somebody's life, to get connected. And he demonstrated that for us as an example so that we could then do that for others. There is power in presence. There's something powerful and special when we come together to seek God's face together. It's been so great the last couple Tuesday nights that we've had these prayer meetings where we can just let down our guard and be real with each other and confess to one another and say, you know, I've got this struggle in my life. Will you pray for it? We're praying for one another. We're praying for our church. We're praying for the movement of God to happen in our community. There's something powerful in the presence of one another. Can you experience God's presence alone? Absolutely. Yes, you can. But God didn't call us just to have a relationship with him alone. He called us to be in relationship with him and the body of Christ, the bride, the church, one another. And he wants us to learn the power of coming together, to worship together, to serve together, to make a difference and an impact in this world together. There is power in presence. Jesus came to us. His name, Emmanuel, means God with us. He didn't stay removed as a distant God like deists believe, a God that created the universe, wound it up and set it in motion and walked away to do his own thing. God wants to be involved in the intimate details of our lives. And he wants us to be that way for one another, involved and experiencing the power of presence and being real in one another's lives. So how are we going to do this? I'm going to make it real practical. There's two things I want to point out to you before we go today. First of all, we're going to do that. We're going to have presence by being present. We're going to start being involved in one another's lives. I want you to repeat after me this phrase. Say, I will love people. Say it one more time. I will love people. Face to face. And not just thumbs to thumbs. One more time. I will love people. Face to face. And not just thumbs to thumbs. For those of you who are married in the room, you can go an extra step and love people belly button to belly button, but that's another sermon. We'll get to that later. Romans 12 says this, don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. We're not going to be able to have that kind of relationship if we're just living a selfie-centered world, showing people what we want them to see and hiding all the brokenness. God wants us to be in each other's mess, picking up the pieces, helping him direct us and lead us as we live life together, walk through life storms together. There's a family in our church right now that's about to lose their house. They're trying to sell their car so they can pay their bills on a monthly basis. And it's not because they were irresponsible. An illness came into their life, and their medication bills alone are over $1,500 a month after insurance. You won't know that unless you let your guard down and you live life with somebody. And that's what God has called us to. In the book of Acts chapter 2, this is how the church began. Loving each other, spending time in each other's lives, sharing meals together, praying for one another, selling their own goods to care for one another's needs. This is the kind of love that Christ calls us to. Love each other as I loved you, he says. A lot of us, if somebody in our life is hurting, a common way to reach out to someone hurting, and an acceptable way is what? Pound out a text. Hey, how are you? I heard about whatever happened, and I'm thinking of you. thinking of you? What good is thinking going to do? Why don't you just start praying for them? Actually, better than that, don't just say, hey, I want to pray for you. Where are you? I want to come pray with you. Let us develop a culture where we're getting so close to each other. Hey, where can I meet you right now? Let's have coffee. I want to hear what's going on in your life. If you're crying, I want to hold you. If you're a guy, I want to punch you. You know, it's a little weird, guys holding each other. But anyway, we want to be real and present in each other's lives. Don't just text. Find a way to connect. There's a cool feature on these phones. They call people. It's amazing. Many times you can hear someone's emotion and tone in their voice that you can't see in a text. And if something's going on, you know what? Let's get off this phone. Where can I meet you right now? And you go and you be with them. And you love on them and you be present. This is what Jesus did for us. He didn't just send us this text. It's great to have this text. But he made it real and he came down and he met with us. And now he wants to meet with people in this world through us, his body. We've got to be present and involved in other people's lives. As a pastor and over the last 20 plus years and as a chaplain with the fire department, I've had to be present at times during people's struggles. I've had to do hospital visits when there wasn't good news. I've had to do home visits when somebody passed away. I've been there when a mom or a dad or a grandfather has passed from this life to the next. And all in that time as a pastor, I'm thinking I'm supposed to give some kind of great words and I'm struggling on the inside. How do I encourage this family in the midst of this loss? And so many times I leave those situations feeling like, God, I blew it. I wasn't able to say anything. There was nothing to say. I didn't even know what to do. But oftentimes I'll hear back from those families and they'll just say, Pastor John, thank you for just being here. You just being here helped us in more ways than you know. There's something powerful in being present. We need to find ways to connect with each other and to be in each other's lives, not just saying, I'll pray for you, but actually go and pray with them. Go and love on them and just be there. If you don't know what else to say, just be there. Just love on people. Power and presence, why? It boils down to who God is. We as people are created in God's image and in his likeness. God is a relational being. God is love, and we are created as his children. We are created to be in relationships with one another and to be in love with each other, to be present with each other. But our culture is pushing back on that. Our culture is like saying, no, don't let anybody see the real you. You know, just put forward your best self. It's all about first impressions and helping people see the person you wish you could be instead of being real. You've made it if you can move into a gated community where you can shut people out. But instead, Christ calls us to be open. Open in our hearts, open in our lives, open in our homes. Living life with one another. Walking down life's paths together, the good ones and the bad ones. Jesus did this for us, and he calls us to do the same. The second thing, not only be present, but we need to be engaged. We need to be engaged. We don't just be there present and okay, I'm here, but emotionally connect. Really listen and pay attention to what's going on. Have you ever walked into a room? I think this has happened to all of us. I walk home sometimes and my daughters are excited. They say, hey, can we have three or four friends spend the night? Sure, go for it. And I walk in and I see a bunch of girls sitting on the sofa. And you know what they're doing? They're in the room sitting there all together and they're all doing this. I'll walk by and okay. 10 minutes later, they're still. They're alone together. They're sitting there together. And I mean, they could be doing, why do you have to have a sleepover to sit there and text? It's bizarre. And it isn't just the kids. Sometimes I'll catch us at dinner. We'll be sitting at dinner. My family, it just happened yesterday. We're sitting at dinner together and all of us are looking at our phones. Great family time. I don't know if it was the kids first or Brandy, but we finally said, okay, phones down. Phones went down. It only lasted about 5 minutes, but it was a good 5 minutes. We need to figure out a way to not let this thing get in the way, and we're going to touch more on that part five, but we need to figure out how to connect, how to really be engaged and not distracted by things. There's actually a new word that popped up in the dictionary recently. The word is FOMO, F-O-M-O. And it stands for fear of missing out. Sociologists have said that every time this thing dings, tweets, buzzes, vibrates, whatever it does, we have something inside us that goes, oh, who liked what? Who said what? And we're driven to check it. There's something that goes off inside of us. We want to know what's going on because we're afraid of missing out. But you know what you're missing out on? You're missing out on the person sitting right there in front of you. I had to apologize to my daughter Alexis when I was studying for this. She came home from school celebrating a great accomplishment. She was so excited. She ran. The door flew open. I'm sitting on the couch. You know what I'm doing? Texting. She runs in, and I see her out of my, you know, vision come in, and she's like, Dad, Dad. I'm like, oh, wait, just a second. And out of the corner of my eye, I saw her excitement go to, she threw her backpack down and started to walk upstairs. And I'm like, oh, wait, Lexi, what's on? She's like, never. It's no big deal, Dad. I lost that moment. I'll never get that back. Fear of missing out. I don't even know what I was texting about, but I missed that. We've got to figure out a way to not miss those moments because like that, and they're going to be gone. We've got to make what's most important, important, and find ways to be present and to be engaged and connect. Many times we're just chasing after likes when we need love. End of your life, it's not going to be, your life is not going to be based on how many likes you got, but how much love you showed. We've got to figure out how to show love the way Christ loved us and gave himself for us. We need to figure out how to apply this. So how do we apply this? Maybe there's some rules that need to start. Maybe in my family, we need to say, okay, from now on, dinner, we only get a couple nights together a week to have family dinner. No phones at the dinner table. Maybe at 10 o'clock when we go to bed, phones are going to stay plugged in, charging somewhere, not distracted. If you're sitting there laying in bed and you're texting your spouse, hey, are you in the mood? There's something wrong. Her response is likely going to be hashtag headache. John recorded the words of Jesus. He said, a new command I give you, love one another as I loved you. We got to learn to put others first. We got to learn to go out of our way to show real love, to connect. I'm not saying social media is bad, but we've got to know how to use it. We've got to leverage it to do the right things, but we got to keep it from helping us do relationships the wrong, keep us from doing relationships the wrong way. Jesus demonstrated his love for us by not shouting to us he loved us. He came and he got involved. He's present in our life and he wants to be present in your life today. Let's pray. My hope is that you're sitting here today and you understand that first of all, God is love. And he demonstrated that love by coming to our world to meet us where we are, to walk with us through our junk, and then to die for us in our place. And if you're here today and you don't know Jesus in that way, then the scriptures say that if you believe in him in your heart and you call out to him as Lord, he will come into your life and make you a child of his. Because he died in our place on that cross, he makes it possible for us to live a life with him. Not just one day in heaven, but here today on earth, Jesus wants to come in and be our everything. He wants to show us what it means to truly love. He wants us to know his real love and the intimate areas in our life. Not just our real world, but our social media world. Is Jesus first on your Facebook? Is Jesus first in the things you post on Instagram? He loves you. He wants to be your everything. Every area of your life. And today, you can take a step towards making that possible. You can invite him in as your Savior and Lord. And if you want to do that today, you just call out to him and just say, Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Thank you for demonstrating love and coming out of heaven to walk on this earth and to show me what it means to live a real life, having real relationships and real friends. God, I need that first in you. Come into my life and make me new. Thank you for dying on a cross for me. Come into my life and change me. Help me to believe in you. Help me to follow you. Help me to chase after you. Walk with me as I walk through this life. And at this moment, if your heart is crying out to Jesus and asking for that, his Holy Spirit is coming into your life right now to make you his, to make you his child, and to walk with you the rest of your life through the trials and through the joys. And if you're here this morning and you would say, you know what, I am a follower of God, but I don't know that I love like I need to love. I don't know that I have friendships like I need to have friendships. I need Jesus' help in that area of my life. Will you just raise your hand and let me pray for you? I'm raising my hand as well because I know that I don't always love the way I should love. I don't always treat my friends the way that I should treat them. So God, I pray for all of us who are raising our hands, myself included, God, show us what it means to have true, deep, intimate relationships with one another. Help us not to put up walls and guards and show ourselves to be something we're not, but help us to be real, even though that can be messy. God, help us to connect better with one another. Help us to love. Jesus, you said that people would come to know you by seeing our love for one another. Help us to do that, Lord Jesus. God, I also pray for those in this church that they wouldn't just consider themselves a part of this church by attending a Sunday morning, but they would get involved in each other's lives. God, help us to get involved in our community groups where we can live life together, where we can study your word together, where we can serve one another together. Help us to plug in, God, that next step. Help us to find ways of going deeper with one another. God, I love you, and I thank you for your love for us, and I pray that you just move in our hearts now, showing us the next step you want us to take. In your name we pray. As we go into these next few moments, if something I shared this morning touched your heart, or if the Holy Spirit tugged on you and you either gave your life to Christ or came to realize that there's something you need to change in your life, let us know. We have people in the back who would love to pray with you. We're not going to interrogate you. We just want to celebrate the decision or help you pray about whatever it is that you need to do next. I'll be here at the front, and I'd love to pray with you as well. In a moment, we're going to take communion, remembering that the reason we can have true friendship is because Jesus was our friend first, and he came and he died for us, having his body broken, his blood shed for us. And let us remember and celebrate that as we take communion today. And as we remember he died for us, he made it possible for us to live for him. So now, respond as you feel led.